from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. And to take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to here in the next 3.5 hours. Your boy has been live. Boots on the ground out at Washington Commanders training camp practice. And I got the tea from out in Ashburn. I will give you the latest on the Washington Commanders as we roll throughout the show. Had an abbreviated version of Grant and Danny because the old Washington Nationals had a rain delay. And on top of that, they got no hit earlier today. So we'll touch on all of that. Before we get out of here, a couple of guests set to stop by the program. Coming up at about 8:15, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, once again set to join us as he does each and every week here on Overtime. We'll get his perspective and his thoughts from 2 days of training camp thus far for the Washington Commanders. I want to start, though, and the only reason I want to start here is because I was kind of fascinated by the conversation that, you know, Grant and Danny were having surrounding Dylan Cease ceasing and desisting the Washington Nationals earlier today. No hitter. And the thing that I was not privy to is the start that Dylan Cease is off to in this point in his career. July 13th, first career start for Dylan Cease. One hit. 11 strikeouts, 6 scoreless innings against the Atlanta Braves. His next start, 7 days later, against the Cleveland Guardians. One hit, 10 punchouts, 7 scoreless to beat the Guardians. And then, today, going the distance against the Washington Nationals. It was super impressive to watch. Obviously, you know, there's got to be some reason for intrigue when it comes to the Washington Nationals. Unfortunately, it was because the other starting pitcher was absolutely on one. And it's ironic, in my opinion at least, where we currently sit right now when it comes to the Washington Commanders. Excuse me, the Washington Nationals. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, the big story surrounding this team and the reason we were all so eager and excited about this group moving forward was because of the young starting pitching. DJ Herz, Mitchell Parker, Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin. I'll be real with you. Here in the past month and a half, 2 months, each of those young men have gotten absolutely rocked. This Washington Nationals pitching staff right now, to me, is an absolute tailspin. They have been mediocre at best the past month or so. And it's honestly, it's disheartening because I now start to think, well, darn, what is the silver lining with the Washington Nationals? What is there to be excited about moving forward with the Washington Nationals? Obviously, James Wood and his continued maturation process as a hitter is something we'll continue to monitor. We know Lane Thomas is a damn good baseball player, and it's someone that I'm eager to see whether or not he gets dealt at the trade deadline. C.J. Abrams at the top of the lineup continuing to bat with power and getting more consistent on the defensive end. But outside of that, and a whole lot to be excited about. I will say this about the pitching staff to their credit. It's it's not as if they're getting any run support. I mean, for anyone that was shocked today by the result and by Dylan Cease getting a no-hitter, to me, it was one of those situations where it's like, well, it was only a matter of time before the Nats got no-no this year. How many games this year have there been two hits, three hits, four hits? It was only a matter of time, in my opinion, and I'm starting to feel like this group and all the playoff talk that we were having about a month and a half, 2 months ago, clearly, very clearly at least, all for nothing. It's enough on the Washington Nationals, though. Like I said, I've been out there, boots on the ground, at Washington Commanders training camp practice. I'll give you my thoughts from out in Ashburn as we continue to roll along here tonight. We'll take a spin around the National Football League as well. The favorite team, our favorite team that we love to hate, the Dallas Cowboys, in the center of drama once again. Their star wide receiver holding out of camp, Dak Prescott, with passive-aggressive comments about his contract at the podium earlier today. And then, make sure you are sticking around in the 8 o'clock hour. Jerry Jones, if you thought he was senile before, wait until you hear what the hell he had to say prior to the start of Dallas Cowboys training camp practice today. But like I said, I have been out on the ground, boots on the ground, rather, with the good guys, the Local 53, our Washington Commanders. Finished up day two of training camp today. My overarching takeaway from the first 2 days is really the sentiments that I've been echoing all offseason long. This is different. The energy, the intensity, the focus level. I'm taken aback by it. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to hear about it through the grapevine. I'm truly enamored, though. I'm truly optimistic about the fact that, you know, despite some of you punch-drunk fans out there that can't wrap your mind around the fact that this team has a legit opportunity to be damn good this year, going out there, being boots on the ground at practice, it gives you all of the feels. It does. And I'll admit, maybe I come in too optimistic. Maybe I come in, you know, a little hot under the collar. Maybe I'm hyperbolic in my expectations for this group. But excuse me for being excited. Excuse me for feeling like, you know what? This is a group that if they're able to stay healthy, I have the utmost confidence that not only will they surpass our expectations here locally, they could very well, depending on how the quarterback play finishes out, they very well could be the surprise team of the National Football League this year. And that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm hyperbolic. That doesn't mean that I'm some fanboy or I'm standing for the team. It's just, and we'll talk about Jaden Daniels in more detail in the 7 o'clock hour, but what I have seen from that young man, through the first 2 days, it makes it all make sense in terms of why this group has so much confidence in him, why this coaching staff has so much confidence in him, why his teammates have so much confidence in him. Seeing him work the first 2 days of training camp practice, it makes you say, you know what? He may end up falling flat on his face. Right now, to this point in the offseason, he has passed every test with 110% flying color. I want to talk about a couple of guys on the defensive side of the football to kick things off here. Because I'll be real with you. To me, that is the group that I think will be able to hit the ground running. I really do. I think, and that's just the way it normally goes when it comes to training camp and starting the season when you got a new offense. I think defensively, they have an opportunity to bounce back in a major, major way. And I got the chance to catch up with defensive backs coach William Gay post-practice for a little bit. More of a high and by conversation. But
just in terms of his energy level, his excitement, and that's for every assistant coach on this defensive side of the football. It's something that to me is contagious, and it's something that, yeah, can spread over to the offensive side of the football, but they seem to have a standard set about how each day is going to go when they walk out onto the practice field. Like I said, this is my third training camp covering the Washington Commanders. I got to cover the last two Ron Rivera training camps. A stark contrast in terms of energy, in terms of crispness, focus level, you name it. It just looks night and day different. And I know people were geeked up last year about Eric Bieniemy because he was cussing people out, putting his foot up people's ass. Y'all loved it. It was great for you. This is different. Yeah, there's the rah-rah, but it ain't for nothing. It's not pointless. A lot of the times, and now that I can look back in hindsight and do this, a lot of the times, some of the stuff with Eric Bieniemy felt forced, inorganic, not natural. That's why we had the comments from Sam Cosmi at the end of the season saying, you know, he didn't even let us wear our hats backwards in offensive meetings. So you understand the dynamic that existed. It's that level of energy, but this is a little bit different. It seems organic, doesn't seem forced. And the thing that I love, and I've said it all offseason, there are former players littered all across this coaching staff. All across this coaching staff, there are former players. And I'm not talking about a former player like Eric Bieniemy who played ages ago. Sharif Floyd, former first-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings. Daryl Tapp, former member of the Washington Redskins. A guy like Ryan Kerrigan, who, you know, the all-time leader in sacks here with this franchise. So they've got that on this coaching staff, specifically on the defensive side. And that's where I want to start off here. If we've got it ready, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn addressed the media before practice today. And I always get a kick out of listening to DQ because I think he's super insightful. I don't think he gives us the BS coach speak that we heard in years past from Ron Rivera. Here is head coach Dan Quinn on what he's seen from linebacker Jamin Davis so far in training camp.
Yeah, Dave, that's one of the positions that I had, you know, spoke about to have multi-position work, and we'll continue to do that with him. He's got speed and length, you know, like an outside backer does. So you need work at it, and it's not something that I'll know in 1 or 2 days. So we'll work all the way through to add another pass rusher to a group that adds depth, that adds value. So you'll see him some in some third downs and some 2 minutes, you know, working off the edge just to keep pushing, you know, what else can we do? How else can we feature players? And Jamin's a perfect example of that, Dave.
Yeah, Dan Quinn giving us the skinny on what he's seen from Jamin Davis to this point and how the transition to edge rusher is going. I was out there for one mandatory minicamp practice, and in that practice, he worked exclusively with the edge rushers. It was one of the top things I was focused on heading into day one of camp yesterday. Where would Jamin line up? Would he go with the linebackers and Coach Ken Norton during the individual drills, or would he be down there with Daryl Tapp in the defensive front? Once again, Jamin Davis exclusively practicing, playing edge rusher. Now, I understand the optimism that we all have about this. I know people are going to think, well, look at what Dan Quinn was able to do with Micah Parsons. The transition from linebacker to defensive end is not easy. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying that. It is not easy. It's honestly something that only special football players have the ability to do. And through the first 2 days of training camp, watching Jamin Davis do it, I'm curious to see. Because look, the one thing I would say, it is not something that's going to happen overnight. This is not going to be an overnight transition for Jamin Davis switching to edge rusher. That's just not realistic expectations. He's been doing it after taking a real long break. Think about this. The long break between the end of minicamp and the start of training camp is beneficial for a lot of guys. Get to work on your body, get to get bigger, faster, stronger, whatever. For Jamin, unless he's got some bros that he can work one-on-ones with, or maybe he's working with somebody in his agency that's an offensive tackle, it's hard to simulate that not being at the facility, not being on the practice field. He needs as many reps as possible. To where I don't want to sound the alarm at this point, but it's been a struggle talking about his transition to edge rusher. It has been a struggle. And that's okay, though. That's okay. Stay to a training camp. He's got a long way to go. They got joint practices coming up here in about 2 weeks with the New York Jets. They got two pretty good tackles. And Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. The thing to me that has been the most eye-popping is Jamin primarily working at edge rusher with the third unit. Meaning he's going up against the third tackles, who are still NFL caliber players, we think. But for him to struggle the way that he has against those guys, like I said, I don't want to sound the alarm, but it definitely does have me scratching my head a little bit. If we've got it ready, head coach Dan Quinn from pre-practice talking about what else he's seen from linebacker Jamin Davis up to this point.
Coming into it, Donna, I wanted to find out what were all the unique things that he could. So in the spring, all right, I want to see him guard a tight end. Now I want to see him guard a back. And then now let me see as the pass rush goes, how do you utilize this size and length that he has? And so part of that, you know, experiment to see, let me see more rush. What about from the end of the line versus blitzing from off the ball? Those were the traits that I was looking at. And what's nice is having a guy like Ryan Kerrigan here that can work very specifically on the skills that we're going to ask Jamin to do. So you'll see him before and after practice. So sometimes you're going to see small moments like in micro teaching sessions for 5 or 10 minutes a day with somebody that over time, Donna, can add up. When you keep doing that over and over, your skills are going to continue to increase. And so Ryan and Jamin are closely connected because when you have to play more than one position, there's a burden that comes with the player. And so that was probably the more difficult part of how to train somebody that plays two positions rather than identifying that. In basketball, how do you have a five that can carry, you know, handle the ball? You don't just put them into the same drill. And so how do you work that and discuss those? So Ryan has been an integral part of Jamin's development as an end-of-the-line rusher because when you keep experimenting and moving around, that's where you find out.
One thing I've noticed when Dan Quinn has talked about this, and this is because he's just a first-class human being, he's not trying to put pressure on Jamin to make this transition. He's not trying to lie about his progress with it either. That's the one thing I can appreciate about Coach Dan Quinn. Open, honest, transparent. It is a work in progress with Jamin Davis on the edge. It is. But at some point, he is going to have to show enough flashes to warrant you leaving him there. And I've seen discussions on Twitter about, well, is Jamin going to make the team if he can't succeed at defensive end? I feel more strongly about this now than I did earlier today when I said it. I just don't see any scenario in which Jamin Davis does not make the football team. Let's be real, though, about why they made this switch to defensive end. I think he lacks the football instincts in the IQ to be a high-level linebacker in the National Football League, or even an average linebacker in the National Football League. Because think about the traits that he possesses. He's big enough. He's fast enough. He's strong enough. But doesn't make or hasn't made enough plays at this point in his career. Why? I think his issues at linebacker stem from the neck up. How far do I drop back in my zone? How do I match this wide receiver three? How far do I carry this wide out? How do I break off of a route? it all feels like the cerebral aspect of the game was too much for him to handle at linebacker. On the edge, not a whole lot of thinking. You're either running straight towards the quarterback off the edge, you're either looping in some sort of stunt, or you're dropping into coverage as a flat defender, hauling ass and guarding a zone in an area instead of a man. Not a whole lot to think about for Jamin Davis on the edge. I think it's been a mixed bag to this point. I'm not going to say it's been all terrible, but there haven't really been any noticeable positives with him on the edge either. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will continue the discussion surrounding Jamin Davis in his switch to the edge rusher spot. When we come back, I'll tell you whether or not I'm sold on if he'll be able to make the transition full-time. That's next here on The Fan.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Just getting rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Programming note coming up in about an hour and change. We'll be joined by our pal David Harrison, frequent guest of the show, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. He was also boots on the ground at Washington Commanders training camp practice. We'll get his opinion, his thoughts on what we've seen from the first 2 days of practice. I want to continue the conversation we started off the show with. Jamin Davis, former first-round pick back in 2021. It feels like with Jamin Davis, it is do or die. Do or die. Make or break for Jamin Davis this year. New regime that did not draft him, his draft status does not guarantee a roster spot. And the move that they made this offseason in terms of not picking up his fifth-year option should tell you how this new regime feels about Jamin Davis. Now, I continue to say it. Former Redskins defensive coordinator Greg Minuski, who I believe coached Jamin Davis at the University of Kentucky, had a fifth-round grade on him. He was drafted in the first round by Ron Rivera and company. You can say what you want about what motivations they had to draft him. A lot of people go with the narrative of, oh, it was a military kid, and Ron loves military guys. You know, I don't care about any of that. Through 4 years of his career, through the first three seasons, rather, of his career, he has shown that, quite clearly, he lacks the football instincts and football IQ to be a quality starting linebacker in the National Football League. And when you are drafted with a first-round pick, that is the bare minimum in terms of expectations. A quality starter. You don't got to be an all-pro. You don't got to be a pro bowler. You don't even got to be top 10, 15 at your position. I'm talking being a quality starter. And through the first 3 years, he simply has not been that. Now, there's a bevy of different reasons as to why he hadn't been able to hit the ground running. One can argue the coaching hadn't been good enough at the linebacker position. One can argue that they moved him around too much. At first, we saw him playing Mike linebacker. Then he's playing weak side linebacker. Two very different positions if you're a casual football fan and don't understand the terminology. So I do give Jamin the benefit of the doubt in certain situations. But all in all, my sentiments remain the same.
He is not or has not been good enough to this point. And I think everyone here locally can agree with that. It is fascinating, though, that Dan Quinn and company coming over from Dallas, a coaching staff that is best known, I would say, for getting every drop of talent out of a player. A guy like Deron Bland in Dallas, undrafted cat, Jayron Kearse, Donovan Wilson, a bunch of non-household names that Dan Quinn and company turned into damn good football players. The hope is that he could do that with Jamin Davis. They're going about it in an unorthodox way, though. Switching him to edge rusher makes me scratch my head, because this is not how I envisioned it happening, right? Like, during the regular season, we are going to see free agent acquisition Frankie Louvu rush the passer. But during training camp, Louvu, I don't think I've seen him rush once. I think he has been running exclusively at linebacker. And maybe this is something we're not privy to, and they show a whole different look during the walkthroughs. If that's the case, more power to him. That's what you should do. You should not, you know, compromise the competitive advantage that you got right now with no one knowing what the hell you're going to run. So I understand that. But for Louvu, yes, he's going to rush the passer, but he's still working primarily with the linebackers. With Jamin, he is working exclusively with the edge rushers, to where if it doesn't work at edge, are they going to give him the opportunity to kick back to linebacker? I don't know. I'm not sure. But I'll say this about Jamin Davis and his switch to edge rusher. I'm not sold that he'll be able to make the transition. I'm not. And I understand that it's early. I understand that there's a lot more, you know, training camp left. You still got two joint practices, preseason games. I get it. He simply just has not looked the part at all to this point. He just hasn't. Super undersized at defensive end. Doesn't have the burst and get off that you would expect from a former linebacker. I question. One, I'm questioning how long they're going to give him to get acclimated, because I will admit, it is an adjustment period. It's not something that you're just going to be able to pick up overnight. But to this point, from what I've seen, you know, throughout two practices, I'm just not so sure he is going to be able to make that switch full time. And I don't know if that should be the plan for him to play defensive end full time. He still has value, in my opinion, as a linebacker. They've just got to lessen the load mentally, is the best way that I can put it. Because he's big enough, he's fast enough, he's strong enough. But from the neck up, I think there's been a struggle with Jamin Davis playing linebacker. That's the best way that I can describe it. He is a guy that is best in the old adage, see ball, get ball. Tosses, he can pursue. Remember against Denver last year, the forced fumble that kind of turned that football game around, all because of his pursuit. So I don't know if it's over for him at linebacker. I also don't know if it's worth getting him started at edge rusher. He looks bad. Be honest with you. And there are no pads on. See, as someone that, you know, got the chance to play a little bit of college football, doing one-on-one drills with no pads on, I think, or even going in team drills with no pads on, I think it's to the advantage of the defense, because the offensive line can't grab you. There's nothing, you're grabbing jersey. When you got pads on, they can hem your ass up and really get their hands inside your chest. That to me is when it becomes more difficult, right? As an edge rusher, he is going against the third team tackles with no pads on and cannot generate a pass rush. Now, I didn't watch him as closely today as I did yesterday. He didn't win one rep yesterday during team. Not one. And when I say didn't win, he's not even getting a pressure. So he had a long way to go. He's got a long, long, long way to go. For him, being an undersized defensive end, he has got to have a deep, deep toolbox. He's got to have different moves. He's got to be able to win. He's got to be able to convert speed to power. vice versa. Where I do think he could have success on the edge is being a looper when you're seeing guys run TE stunts, right? Using the athleticism to get around the edge or to get inside and beat the guard. I can see him winning that way, but where you're just lining up one-on-one, mano-a-mano, I just don't think he's got it. One rush in particular, I believe it was against, I don't want to say Trent Scott, I think it was the third team tackle yesterday. I mean, just gets completely too far upfield and takes himself out of the play because he was trying to run around the guy using his speed. One thing I learned a long time ago about playing defensive end, sort of considered the finesse position of the defensive line where you're in an organized car crash every damn play, you can't duck smoke. You can't rush the passer not putting your hands on guys. I want to see him be more physical. I want to see him chopping at wrists, getting his palm under elbows and whatnot. He's working with Ryan Kerrigan exclusively. Ryan Kerrigan, I'll be honest with you, he didn't have the deepest tool bag as a pass rusher. He was a power rusher, long arm, bull rush. Not someone that was really dip and rip. Not someone that usually won with speed. So I'm curious how that transition is going to go with Ryan Kerrigan being the one teaching him. The one thing I do like is at least they're being smart. One thing I hated when I played back in the day at defensive end, I don't know if any defensive end likes this. No one likes playing with their hand in the ground. I feel like you got more bursts, more get off when you are a stand-up edge rusher. It may make it a little bit more difficult for you to play with good pad level because you're standing up, but that's the one thing I do like is that they're standing him up, allowing him to better utilize the athleticism. But I just don't know at this point when it comes to Jamin Davis on the edge and whether or not he's going to be able to figure it out. The big question I have, if he can't figure it out at end, are they going to cut him? That's the conversation that has been going around the water cooler. If he cannot successfully make the transition to defensive end, will they cut him? It's yet to be seen. It's yet to be seen. I don't think so. I just think he's too good of an athlete to just cut him. With the new kickoff return rules, or the new kickoff rules, period, I don't even know if that's his best spot. I was going to say, I said previously, if he was playing traditionally on kickoff in the old kickoff format, he'd be a war daddy on special teams. He's fast. He's big. He ain't afraid to hit you. So I don't know what role he's going to be able to carve out. According to Pro Football Focus, last year he played a total of 3 special team snaps, all 3 on kickoff return. So there's no track record of him playing special teams, and we all know how that goes. If he ain't going to play teams, if he ain't going to play wee-fence, as my old college head coach used to call it, then there's probably not going to be a role for you on the 53-man roster. There's just not. And that's where I think the conversation gets super interesting. That's where I think the conversation is baffling. Because I didn't think we would get to this point, honestly. Because looking at the way Jamin played at linebacker last year, I thought, you know what? Maybe with a new coaching staff, he'll be better. Maybe with better guidance, he'd be better. Ken Norton Jr. is coming over coaching linebackers now, and he has coached some of the all-time greats. You've got one of the all-time greats in your position room now in future Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner. It didn't seem like this was the appropriate time to switch him to edge rusher. It just didn't. But you drafted Jordan McGee out of Temple. You signed Mykel Walker, Anthony Pittman. It's crowded in that linebacker room. We got our local cat, Keandre Jones, out of Good Counsel, scratching and clawing to try to make his way onto the 53-man roster. If Jamin does move back to linebacker, is he the 4th best linebacker? I don't think he's better than Bobby Wagner. I know for damn sure he's not better than Frankie Louvu. I don't necessarily think he's better than, you know, 5th-round rookie Jordan McGee. Mykel Walker and Mike Pittman, 2 veterans at the position. I don't think he's better than those guys from the neck up. Physically, he may be better in terms of height, weight, speed. But it's going to be an uphill battle, I think, for Jamin Davis at that defensive end spot. One key area for him and another time in which I'll gauge his progress. The joint practices against the New York Jets provide a perfect opportunity for not just Jamin, but the entire roster to prove themselves against other competition. You get tired. That's why fights happen in training camp. You get tired of hitting the same color jersey day in, day out. Your opportunity in joint practice to go up against the Jets, I think, is perfect. But then it's another opportunity to grade a guy like Jamin Davis and see how much progress he's made between the start of camp and those joint practices, which will be about 3 weeks in between. So if he looks lost, if he looks out of sorts in the Jets joint practice and then goes on to look out of sorts in the Jets preseason game, does patience begin to wear thin? Do they begin viewing him like he's on the outside looking in terms of the roster bubble? It's going to be fascinating to watch here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll talk about another former Commanders first-round pick that is in dire need of a bounce-back 2024 campaign. I'll tell you who next here on The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. I have been boots on the ground at Washington Commanders training camp practice the last 2 days, and there have been a lot of observations. In the first 2 days, non-padded practices. I believe the first day of pads is on Monday. What a little birdie told me earlier today out on the practice field. We'll see if that reigns true come Monday. But before we get into pads, there are a couple of questions that I still think have to be settled before the pads come on. And we'll get more answers once they are in pads. But we started off the show talking about Jamin Davis. I don't feel as if the transition to defensive end for Jamin Davis, I don't think it's going to be something that works. I just don't. From a size standpoint, I don't think he's big enough. I don't think he's explosive enough off the edge in terms of his get off. I think he's struggling using his hands. And the way he, and I, look, I said it earlier, I didn't pay a super attention to him today in terms of how detailed I looked at him yesterday, but he's getting engulfed by these offensive linemen. And primarily he's run up against the third team, what I saw yesterday, and he didn't look good. I wonder, one, how long it's going to take for him to look formidable, and then two, will he ever look formidable at that position? If he is not able to make the transition to defensive end, it will go down as another failed first-round pick of the Ron Rivera era. One, the first one was Chase Young, and the way that his career went post-defensive rookie of the year. And I know how some of you all feel. As I was the biggest Chase Young backer in the market. Kiss my behind, right? He's in New Orleans now. None of that matters. But Jamin, if he cannot make the transition, will fall in the category of another failed Ron Rivera first-round pick. Last year's first-round pick, the final first-round pick under head coach Ron Rivera, also entering a make-or-break 2024 campaign. I got the chance to catch up with former first-round pick Emmanuel Forbes earlier today.
Linnell Willingham here with Commanders second-year defensive back Emmanuel Forbes after practice number 2 at training camp. Eman, how you feeling?
Feeling good, you know, after work, you know, man Terry having some good one-on-ones, so we're just, you know, learning from each other.
Noticed that a lot today, you two going back and forth. He got you a couple, you got him a couple. Explain that dynamic and how the captain helps you get better each and every day.
After practice, we go in the locker room and talk to each other about what we could have seen, what we could have done better, you know, and just helping each other out. You know, we're a TP team, and we're going to need both of us this year, so just trying to get each other better.
Revamp coaching staff on the defensive side of the football. You got some Super Bowl winners on your staff. What has Coach Gay done for you in your development, and how good is it to be able to pick a brain of a Super Bowl winner at your position?
Oh, yeah, Coach Gay always, you know, he always loud.
Bringing the juice.
Yeah, bringing the juice. He always helping me out, though, like giving me small pointers on what can help me do things better and what he's saying that I did good. So it's a big help with all my DB coaching, honestly. So, yeah.
You've definitely seen some change to your body and adding some more mass. What were you able to do this summer to work on that?
Just work out, eat a lot, you know, just get my weight to where they want me at. So.
Got a favorite thing you like to eat that's helping you bulk up?
Steak and rice.
Steak and rice, I dig it. Confidence was a big thing for you last year. You look a lot more confident this time around. Where do you feel like you've improved the most this offseason, and why should fans be excited about a big second year for you?
Honestly, it just matured. It's the game of maturity, so I matured a lot, you know. Not letting one play get me down, just going out there and make plays.
Appreciate you giving me some time, my brother.
Second-year defensive back Emmanuel Forbes looking to have a bounce-back 2024 campaign. I watched him closely today as I was paying attention to the receivers and defensive backs. One, if you got the chance to watch the interview on social media, as I mentioned, it's at NELL_BTP on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everyone to get it. He looks noticeably bigger, and we spoke about that as you heard. Steak and rice. I got people all in the comments on Twitter saying just the absolute craziest thing. Why is he eating potatoes? What do you mean steak and rice? That's not going to help a bulk up. Y'all got to calm the hell down. What I've noticed, and maybe this is because Emmanuel was active last year on social media, there is a disdain for him on the internet. He gets it more than any other player that I can remember here in recent memory. He gets it almost as much as Chase Young was getting it. That's the comp that I have in terms of how he is treated on social media. I don't know what the reason is for that. I think it has to do with he kind of was active on social media. But I remember going back to last year, there were instances of maybe if someone can jog my memory here, was he active on social media last year? And that rubbed people the wrong way? Was that the case?
I don't remember him really on social. I just think people probably have a disdain just because of the on-field performance and him getting benched in this during the season and stuff. So I think people are just still a little salty about that.
Yeah, and I said this back in during the season, during the in-game show when it happened. I thought the moment they benched Emmanuel Forbes, that was the end of his rookie year. At a position like corner, that requires so much confidence and so much, you know, positivity to be given to the guy in order to have success. Like he was not given the vote of confidence by the coaching staff because they benched him. And I tweeted this out earlier, and folks responded with, well, did you want him to stay and continue to get picked on? Yeah, that's how you grow. That's how you grow. Depending on how you grew up, man. I didn't grow up this way particularly, but I've seen people. If you go to school every day and you get your ass whooped, what's your mother supposed to make you transfer? No. One day you got to come to school and knuckle up. What Kendra say? Sometimes you got to pop out and show them? Come on. That is what I was waiting for last year with Emmanuel Forbes. But for whatever reason, he didn't really get that opportunity. His best game a season ago was against the New England Patriots. And let's just be real, the Patriots have JV-level wide receiver play. Straight up, the DMV is the mecca of football, always say it. They can take an all-star league. What is the all-star game that happens? Is the Big 33? It's one of these. It's Pennsylvania versus Maryland. You could take the all-stars from that game, and they would have started at wide receiver. Point blank, period. Point blank. Point blank. So, it's, to me, watching him through the offseason, watching the body change,
I feel as if he is poised to bounce back. The other thing that I think he should be given leeway for is the fact that he was being coached last year by Brent Wieselmeyer, who basically read him a copy of Coaching Secondary for Dummies and got the job. Not once had Brent Wieselmeyer been an NFL coach without Jack Del Rio being on the staff. So he's not qualified. He's not in the NFL anymore. So that kind of tells you the level of coaching that he was getting. So I give him the benefit of the doubt for that reason. I also look, and traditionally speaking, it takes corners a little while to hit the ground running. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, it takes Sauce Gardner time to hit the ground running. Tariq Woolen was able to hit the ground running. Devin Witherspoon last year hit the ground running. I get it. But not every corner is created equal. This is the best way that I can put it. Just because other guys have hit the ground running at corner doesn't mean Emmanuel Forbes should. Today in practice, though, him versus Terry McLaurin was probably the most fun battle to watch today. Both guys getting the best of each other. Emmanuel got beat for a touchdown by Terry. Very next play, gets a PBU on Terry. So, or vice versa. Gets a PBU on Terry, and the next play is a touchdown. So those two in the battle that they're going to have all camp long is only going to help Emmanuel Forbes get better. Terry McLaurin, for my money, is one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League. I can give a rat's ass about what the numbers say. And we went through some of the numbers earlier today over on the Team 980 with my pal Chris Russell on a Throwdown Thursday. It is baffling. Terry McLaurin was 24th in the National Football League in targets this past year. Yet we talk about him as if he took a step back a season ago. Although it wasn't his best ball, I'm not concerned about Terry going into this year. Some of you wanted to trade Terry for Brandon Ayuk. What couldn't be me? I wouldn't do that. Him having a quarterback, I can't wait to see what we're going to get out of the captain, Terry McLaurin. But I talked to Emmanuel Forbes off camera, and one of the things that I asked him was, you know, to feel better now that you don't have, that you're no longer have all the attention on you. You're not the first round pick this year. Because that's what comes with it, right? You're doing all the media. You're going to the draft party on the water at the National Harbor. You're talking to folks. How did he feel about not having that burden on his shoulder? He answered me straight up. He said, hey, y'all still talking. And I'm like, y'all? In my head, obviously. I'm like, y'all? I ain't never hated on your brother. I'm the one that didn't want you to get benched. But it's here nor there. I say all that to say this. I think he is in a confident headspace. I think that secondary room with Jason Simmons as the defensive pass game coordinator and DB's coach, William Gay, former Super Bowl winner of the Steelers, on that staff, he is being surrounded by the best coaching probably that he's ever had in his career, dating all the way back to his time at Mississippi State. So while he struggled last year, I think he's in a pretty good position to have a bounce back year. What say you, though? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Which former first-round pick do you have more confidence in when it comes to bouncing back in 2024? Jamin Davis or Emmanuel Forbes? We'll take your calls next. Plus, we'll let you hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn talking about the new starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels. All that and more coming up next here on The Fan. One 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in about a half hour, first guest set to stop by the program, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. Getting ready to join us coming up at about 8:15. He was also out there, boots on the ground, at Washington Commanders training camp practice. And we'll get his thoughts on what we're currently asking you. Jamin Davis right now making the switch to edge rusher for the Washington Commanders. Former first-round pick of former head coach Ron Rivera. Another one of his former first-round picks, Emmanuel Forbes, the latest, didn't play particularly well last year. Which first-rounder do you have more confidence in when it comes to bouncing back next year, Jamin Davis or Emmanuel Forbes? I've straight up told you, I do not think Jamin Davis switching to edge rusher is going to work out. I don't have much confidence in him being able to establish himself at that position. With that being said, I'm not giving up on Jamin Davis. I do not feel like it's fair to give up on Jamin and act as if he's not an NFL football player. There is a role for him somewhere. It's just about carving it out. And I wonder how much rope and leeway they're going to give him. Because like I said, from a physical standpoint, like the measurables, height, weight, speed, he's got it, right? I would have loved him to be a little bit heavier in the britches coming back playing end. But it's here nor there. I would have to look it up. I don't know how much he weighed last year compared to how much he weighs now. But if you're going to make a full-time switch to edge from the linebacker spot, you've got to have some obvious changes to your body. And I think at this point, he looks the same. He looks the same. If it doesn't work out, if it doesn't work out in the preseason, I don't even want to look that far ahead. I told you the joint practices against the Jets are going to be huge, right? If we get to that point and he's still looks as if he hasn't shown any improvement, then I would be alarmed. The thing about it is, like, it's going to be progress made, but there will be gradual progress. It ain't going to be overnight. He ain't all of a sudden going to start getting pressures 2 out of 3 downs, right? It's about him taking the baby steps. And what I think is most important for him, from like a schematic standpoint, a technique standpoint, an X's and O's standpoint, he's got to use his hands. That's the area where I feel like watching him, he's not using his hands. Cave the offensive tackle's chest in. Convert speed to power. I want to see him be able to do that. You know, it felt like he tried a spin move earlier today against Brandon Coleman. Terrible idea. If you've ever played, high school football or football at any level, and you played defensive end, you don't spin and swim unless you know how to spin and swim, because that's how you get him the hell up. And you saw it happen to Jamin Davis earlier today in practice, but it's not something to be alarmed by. At least he's working another move. At least he's trying to work another move. Like, that matters. That's important. So, look, as I continue to say, I'm not going to give up on Jamin Davis, but to answer the question, I think it has to be Emmanuel Forbes. It has to be. But buyer beware on Emmanuel Forbes. Buyer beware, because last year, think about it, we were raving about him last training camp, talking about, you know, how well he looks to this point, how he's further ahead than we expected, and how we expected him to hit the ground running during the regular season. Obviously, that didn't happen. The question is now for Forbes is, first and foremost, the most important thing is I think he's had to get his confidence back, right? You cannot play that position haphazardly. You just can't. If he's got his confidence back, which it seems like he does, that is the first part of the equation in Operation Jamin Davis bounce back. He's got to play with confidence. And watching him, he looks like he is. Going up against Terry McLaurin, as I mentioned today, getting pass breakups, taunting afterwards, doing his thing. We love all of that. That is what I want him to play with. Speaking of last year for a second, I mentioned I hated that they benched him because I felt like it sapped him of his confidence. You can't. There was a thing last year where Ron got on the podium and called guys out, not individually by name. I don't know if you remember this, Uptown Don. I think we talked about this a lot. Ron Rivera calling guys out indirectly in press conferences about taunting after a play. That, to me, you can't. It's a violent sport. If you've never played it, it ain't as cute as it looks on television. Guys are trying to end your life. Then in the National Football League, when you got to feed your family off of this, look, you don't want to sap a guy of his confidence, because especially at that position, defensive back, you are nothing without it. But through the first couple of days of camp, he is taken, and this was the case during mandatory minicamp as well. It's Emmanuel Forbes at outside corner. It's Benjamin St. Juice at outside corner. And it's Mike Samers still, the rookie out of Michigan, at the slot corner. So we're going to see if he's able to maintain that outside corner job. I thought it was a position that was up for grabs based off of how inconsistent he was last year. But that cornerback room is interesting in terms of the names that they've got. It's a young unit relative to playing experience outside of, even including Forbes and St. Juice. Mike Davis is the most experienced member at corner right now. Formerly of the LA Chargers. Wasn't really good last year. Was pretty damn good in 2022. Up and down career to this point. But Washington's hoping that they can get the most out of him. Outside of Mike Davis, St. Juice, this is what? Year number four for him. Emmanuel Forbes, year number two. Noah I. I'm calling him Noah I because I can't pronounce his damn last name. Only in year number four. So it's a young group. Tariq Castro Fields, undrafted cat, or seventh round pick, sorry. Formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, someone that Adam Peters and company actually selected. So he's been running with the second team in outside corner. So I'm interested to see him. But all in all, like, I do have some concern about the secondary, outside corner in particular. And I wonder at what point are they going to pick up the phone and call Stephon Gilmore? Because I know if they are to bring in another veteran at corner, I would have to think that it is Stephon Gilmore.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
one 800 636 1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. I have been boots on the ground at Washington Commanders training camp practice the last 2 days, and there have been a lot of observations in the first 2 days. Non-padded practices. I believe the first day of pads is on Monday. It's a little, what a little birdie told me earlier today out on the practice field. We will see if that reigns true come Monday. But before we get into pads, there are a couple of questions that I still think have to be settled before the pads come on. And we'll get more answers once they are in pads. But we started off the show talking about Jamin Davis. I don't feel as if the transition to defensive end for Jamin Davis, I don't think it's going to be something that works. I just don't. From a size standpoint, I don't think he's big enough. I don't think he's explosive enough off the edge in terms of his get off. I think he's struggling using his hands. And the way he, and I, look, I said it earlier, I didn't pay a super attention to him today in terms of how detailed I looked at him yesterday, but he's getting engulfed by these offensive linemen. And primarily he's run up against the third team, what I saw yesterday, and he didn't look good. I wonder One, how long it's going to take for him to look formidable. And then two, will he ever look formidable at that position? If he is not able to make the transition to defensive end, it will go down as another failed first-round pick of the Ron Rivera era. One, the first one was Chase Young, and the way that his career went post-defensive rookie of the year. And I know how some of you all feel. As I was the biggest Chase Young backer in the market. Kiss my behind, right? He's in New Orleans now. None of that matters. But Jamin, if he cannot make the transition, will fall in the category of another failed Ron Rivera first-round pick. Last year's first-round pick, the final first-round pick under head coach Ron Rivera, also entering a make-or-break 2024 campaign. I got the chance to catch up with former first-round pick Emmanuel Forbes earlier today.
Linnell Willingham here with Commanders second-year defensive back Emmanuel Forbes after practice number two at training camp. E-man, how you feeling?
Feeling good, you know, after work, you know, me and Terry having some good one-on-one, so we're just, you know, learning from each other.
Noticed that a lot today, you two going back and forth. He got you a couple, you got him a couple. Explain that dynamic and how the captain helps you get better each and every day.
You know, we just, you know, after practice, we go in the locker room and talk to each other about what we could have seen, what we could have done better, you know, and just helping each other out. You know, we're a TP team, and we're going to need both of us this year, so just trying to get each other better.
Revamp coaching staff on the defensive side of the football. You got some Super Bowl winners on your staff. What has Coach Gay done for you in your development, and how good is it to be able to pick a brain of a Super Bowl winner at your position?
Oh, yeah, Coach Gay always, you know, he always loud.
Bringing the juice.
Yeah, bringing the juice. He always helping me out, though, like giving me small pointers on what can help me do things better and what he's saying that I did good. So it's a big help with all my DB coaches, honestly. So, yeah.
You've definitely seen some change to your body and adding some more mass. What were you able to do this summer to work on that?
You know, just work out, eat a lot, you know, just get my weight to where they want me at. So.
Got a favorite thing you like to eat that's helping you bulk up?
Steak and rice.
Steak and rice, I dig it. Confidence was a big thing for you last year. You look a lot more confident this time around. Where do you feel like you've improved the most this offseason, and why should fans be excited about a big second year for you?
Honestly, it just matured. It's the game of maturity, so I matured a lot, you know. Not letting one play get me down, just going out there and making plays. Honestly.
Appreciate you giving me some time, my brother.
Second-year defensive back Emmanuel Forbes looking to have a bounce-back 2024 campaign. I watched him closely today as I was paying attention to the receivers and defensive backs. One, if you got the chance to watch the interview on social media, as I mentioned, it's at NELL_BTP on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everyone to get it. He looks noticeably bigger, and we spoke about that as you heard. Steak and rice. I got people all in the comments on Twitter saying just the absolute craziest thing. Why is he eating potatoes? What do you mean steak and rice? That's not going to help a bulk up. Y'all got to calm the hell down. What I've noticed, and maybe this is because Emmanuel was active last year on social media, there is a disdain for him on the internet. He gets it more than any other player that I can remember here in recent memory. He gets it almost as much as Chase Young was getting it. That's the comp that I have in terms of how he is treated on social media. I don't know what the reason is for that. I think it has to do with he kind of was active on social media. But I remember going back to last year, there were instances of maybe if someone can jog my memory here, was he active on social media last year? And that rubbed people the wrong way? Was that the case?
I don't remember him really on social. I just think people probably have a disdain just because of the on-field performance and him getting benched in this during the season and stuff. So I think people are just still a little salty about that.
Yeah, and I said this back in during the season, during the in-game show when it happened. I thought the moment they benched Emmanuel Forbes, that was the end of his rookie year. At a position like corner, that requires so much confidence and so much, you know, positivity to be given to the guy in order to have success. Like he was not given the vote of confidence by the coaching staff because they benched him. And I tweeted this out earlier, and folks responded with, well, did you want him to stay and continue to get picked on? Yeah, that's how you grow. That's how you grow. Depending on how you grew up, man. I didn't grow up this way particularly, but I've seen people. if you go to school every day and you get your ass whooped, what's your mother supposed to make you transfer? No. One day you got to come to school and knuckle up. What Kendra say? Sometimes you got to pop out and show them? Come on. That is what I was waiting for last year with Emmanuel Forbes. But for whatever reason, he didn't really get that opportunity. His best game a season ago was against the New England Patriots. And let's just be real. The Patriots have JV-level wide receiver play. Straight up, the DMV is the mecca of football. I'll always say it. They can take an all-star league. What is the all-star game that happens? Is the Big 33? It's one of the. It's Pennsylvania versus Maryland. You could take the all-stars from that game, and they would have started at wide receiver. Point blank, period. Point blank. Point blank. So, it's, to me, watching him through the offseason, watching the body change, I feel as if he is poised to bounce back. The other thing that I think he should be given leeway for is the fact that he was being coached last year by Brent Wieselmeyer, who basically read him a copy of Coaching Secondary for Dummies and got the job. Not once had Brent Wieselmeyer been an NFL coach without Jack Del Rio being on the staff. So he's not qualified. He's not in the NFL anymore. So that kind of tells you the level of coaching that he was getting. So I give him the benefit of the doubt for that reason. I also look, and traditionally speaking, it takes corners a little while to hit the ground running. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, it takes Sauce Gardner time to hit the ground running. Tariq Woolen was able to hit the ground running. Devin Witherspoon last year hit the ground running. I get it. But not every corner is created equal. This is the best way that I can put it. Just because other guys have hit the ground running at corner doesn't mean Emmanuel Forbes should. Today in practice, though, him versus Terry McLaurin was probably the most fun battle to watch today. Both guys getting the best of each other. Emmanuel got beat for a touchdown by Terry. Very next play, gets a PBU on Terry. So, or vice versa. Gets a PBU on Terry, and the next play is a touchdown. So those two in the battle that they're going to have all camp long is only going to help Emmanuel Forbes get better. Terry McLaurin, for my money, is one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League. I can give a rat's ass about what the numbers say. And we went through some of the numbers earlier today over on the Team 980 with my pal Chris Russell on a Throwdown Thursday. It is baffling. Terry McLaurin was 24th in the National Football League in targets this past year. Yet we talk about him as if he took a step back a season ago. Although it wasn't his best ball, I'm not concerned about Terry going into this year. Some of you wanted to trade Terry for Brandon Ayuk. What couldn't be me? I wouldn't do that. Him having a quarterback, I can't wait to see what we're going to get out of the captain, Terry McLaurin. But I talked to Emmanuel Forbes off camera, and one of the things that I asked him was, you know, does it feel better now that you don't have, that you're no longer have all the attention on you? You're not the first round pick this year. Because that's what comes with it, right? You're doing all the media. You're going to the draft party on the water at the National Harbor. You're talking to folks. How did he feel about not having that burden on his shoulder? He answered me straight up. He said, hey, y'all still talking. And I'm like, y'all? In my head, obviously. I'm like, y'all? I ain't never hated on your brother. I'm the one that didn't want you to get benched. But it's here nor there. I say all that to say this. I think he is in a confident headspace. I think that secondary room with Jason Simmons as the defensive pass game coordinator and DB's coach, William Gay, former Super Bowl winner of the Steelers, on that staff, he is being surrounded by the best coaching probably that he's ever had in his career, dating all the way back to his time at Mississippi State. So while he struggled last year, I think he's in a pretty good position to have a bounce back year. What say you, though? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Which former first-round pick do you have more confidence in when it comes to bouncing back in 2024? Jamin Davis or Emmanuel Forbes? We'll take your calls next. Plus, we'll let you hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn talking about the new starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels. All that and more coming up next here on The Fan.
1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in about a half hour, first guest set to stop by the program, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, getting ready to join us coming up at about 8:15. He was also out there, boots on the ground, at Washington Commanders training camp practice. And we'll get his thoughts on what we're currently asking you. Jamin Davis right now making the switch to edge rusher for the Washington Commanders. Former first-round pick of former head coach Ron Rivera. Another one of his former first-round picks, Emmanuel Forbes, the latest, didn't play particularly well last year. Which first-rounder do you have more confidence in when it comes to bouncing back next year, Jamin Davis or Emmanuel Forbes? I've straight up told you, I do not think Jamin Davis switching to edge rusher is going to work out. I don't have much confidence in him being able to establish himself at that position. With that being said, I'm not giving up on Jamin Davis. I do not feel like it's fair to give up on Jamin and act as if he's not an NFL football player. There is a role for him somewhere. It's just about carving it out. And I wonder how much rope and leeway they're going to give him. Because like I said, from a physical standpoint, like the measurables, height, weight, speed, he's got it, right? I would have loved him to be a little bit heavier in the britches coming back playing end, but it's here nor there. I would have to look it up. I don't know how much he weighed last year compared to how much he weighs now. But if you're going to make a full-time switch to edge from the linebacker spot, you've got to have some obvious changes to your body. And I think at this point, he looks the same. He looks the same. If it doesn't work out, if it doesn't work out in the preseason, I don't even want to look that far ahead. I told you the joint practices against the Jets are going to be huge, right? If we get to that point and he still looks as if he hasn't shown any improvement, then I would be alarmed. The thing about it is, like, it's going to be progress made, but there will be gradual progress. It ain't going to be overnight. He ain't all of a sudden going to start getting pressures 2 out of 3 downs, right? It's about him taking the baby steps. And what I think is most important for him from like a schematic standpoint, a technique standpoint, an X's and O's standpoint, he's got to use his hands. That's the area where I feel like watching him, he's not using his hands. Cave the offensive tackle's chest in. Convert speed to power. I want to see him be able to do that. You know, it felt like he tried a spin move earlier today against Brandon Coleman. Terrible idea. If you've ever played, high school football or football at any level and you played defensive end, you don't spin and swim unless you know how to spin and swim. Because that's how you get him the hell up. And you saw it happen to Jamin Davis earlier today in practice, but it's not something to be alarmed by. At least he's working another move. At least he's trying to work another move. Like, that matters. That's important. So, look, as I continue to say, I'm not going to give up on Jamin Davis, but to answer the question, I think it has to be Emmanuel Forbes. It has to be. But buyer beware on Emmanuel Forbes. Buyer beware, because last year, think about it, we were raving about him last training camp, talking about, you know, how well he looks to this point, how he's further ahead than we expected, and how we expected him to hit the ground running during the regular season. Obviously, that didn't happen. The question is now for Forbes is, first and foremost, the most important thing is I think he's had to get his confidence back. Right? You cannot play that position haphazardly. You just can't. If he's got his confidence back, which it seems like he does, that is the first part of the equation in Operation Jamin Davis bounce back. He's got to play with confidence. And watching him, he looks like he is. Going up against Terry McLaurin, as I mentioned today, getting pass breakups, taunting afterwards, doing his thing. We love all of that. That is what I want him to play with. Speaking of
last year for a second. I mentioned I hated that they benched him because I felt like it sapped him of his confidence. You can't. There was a thing last year where Ron got on the podium and called guys out, not individually by name. I don't know if you remember this, Uptown Don. I think we talked about this a lot. Ron Rivera calling guys out indirectly in press conferences about taunting after a play. That, to me, you can't. It's a violent sport. If you've never played it, it ain't as cute as it looks on television. Guys are trying to end your life. Then in the National Football League, when you got to feed your family off of this, look, you don't want to sap a guy of his confidence, because especially at that position, defensive back, you are nothing without it. But through the first couple of days of camp, he is taken, and this was the case during mandatory minicamp as well. It's Emmanuel Forbes at outside corner. It's Benjamin St. Juiced at outside corner. And it's Mike Samers still, the rookie out of Michigan, at the slot corner. So we're going to see if he's able to maintain that outside corner job. I thought it was a position that was up for grabs based off of how inconsistent he was last year. But that cornerback room is interesting in terms of the names that they've got. It's a young unit relative to playing experience outside of, even including Forbes and St. Juice. Mike Davis is the most experienced member at corner right now. Formerly of the LA Chargers. Wasn't really good last year. Was pretty damn good in 2022. Up and down career to this point. But Washington's hoping that they can get the most out of him. Outside of Mike Davis, St. Juice, this is what? Year number four for him. Emmanuel Forbes, year number two. Noah I. I'm calling him Noah I because I can't pronounce his damn last name. Only in year number four. So it's a young group. Tariq Castro Fields, undrafted cat. Or seventh round pick, sorry. Formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, someone that Adam Peters and company actually selected. So he's been running with the second team in outside corner. So I'm interested to see him. But all in all, like, I do have some concern about the secondary. Outside corner in particular. And I wonder at what point are they going to pick up the phone and call Stephon Gilmore? Because I know if they are to bring in another veteran at corner, I would have to think that it is Stephon Gilmore because of the track record working with Dan Quinn and company previously in Dallas. That's just what I would have to think. But like I said, I'm okay with them not making a move right now. The way I feel, it's hard to get a real gauge on what you've got until you're in pads. And they're not in pads yet. So Monday, as I continue to say, is the day that I believe they're going to get into pads. At that point in time, you're going to start to get some more answers about just how good this group is. That's on offense and on defense. So for as optimistic as I am about this group, once you put the pads on, I understand it is a different ballgame. It just is. And you're going to separate men from boys. It is a grown-ass man's game. And you can fake the funk for a long time. You go months without putting pads on in the NFL. OTAs, no pads. Mandatory minicamp, no pads. You get your ass to August, end of July, early August, and the pads come on. It's very easy to wean out the guys that don't have that mentality that is needed for this defense to take a step forward. It's going to be very easy to weed out guys, especially in the secondary. If you can't tackle, you shouldn't play. That's the one thing I get so frustrated with in the National Football League, especially with this team in particular over the years. Be a sure tackling football team. It's one of my number one requirements for this defense next year. I don't care if you can't cover worth a lick. At least be sure tacklers. At least have 11 guys flying to the football down in and down out. Because that quite literally lacked last year. That Buffalo game in particular is a game I get so hot under the collar about. They were in that Buffalo game It was a two-possession game all the way until about 6 minutes left to go in the fourth. And then all of a sudden, the doors got blown off and they quit. Guys weren't pursuing the football as hard. Guys weren't firing off the ball as hard. And it became very apparent that they had mentally checked out of that football game. That can't happen this year. Especially not with a new regime. Especially not with a new regime. It cannot happen. It shall not be tolerated. And I hope it's not. I hope it's not. But with guys like Frankie Louvu, John Allen, Daron Payne, you've got the right leaders. I can't believe I named John Allen as a leader. Y'all know how I feel about John Allen. But you get what I'm saying here. It feels like they've got the right mix of guys to where that isn't going to be a problem. But if it is, might as well put the season to bed. With a new regime and a new coaching staff, energy should not be something that you got to preach, because everyone should have a heightened sense of urgency, because all of these dudes were previously fired. Just is what it is. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We spent enough time talking about the defensive side of the football. When we come back, I'll let you hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn talking about the rookie signal caller, Jayden Daniels. Plus, I give you my thoughts on how Jayden has looked through the first 2 days of practice. Next, this is The Fan.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
One 800 636 1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's overtime here on 1067. The Fan will take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in about a half hour, first guest set to stop by the program, our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. Getting ready to join us coming up at about 8:15. He was also out there, boots on the ground, at Washington Commanders training camp practice. And we'll get his thoughts on what we're currently asking you. Jamin Davis right now making the switch to edge rusher for the Washington Commanders. Former first-round pick of former head coach Ron Rivera. Another one of his former first-round picks, Emmanuel Forbes, the latest, didn't play particularly well last year. Which first-rounder do you have more confidence in when it comes to bouncing back next year, Jamin Davis or Emmanuel Forbes? I've straight up told you, I do not think Jamin Davis switching to edge rusher is going to work out. I don't have much confidence in him being able to establish himself at that position. With that being said, I'm not giving up on Jamin Davis. I do not feel like it's fair to give up on Jamin and act as if he's not an NFL football player. There is a role for him somewhere. It's just about carving it out. And I wonder how much rope and leeway they're going to give him. Because like I said, from a physical standpoint, like the measurables, height, weight, speed, he's got it, right? I would have loved him to be a little bit heavier in the britches coming back playing end. But it's here nor there. I would have to look it up. I don't know how much he weighed last year compared to how much he weighs now. But if you're going to make a full-time switch to edge from the linebacker spot, you've got to have some obvious changes to your body. And I think at this point, he looks the same. He looks the same. If it doesn't work out, if it doesn't work out in the preseason, I don't even want to look that far ahead. I told you the joint practices against the Jets are going to be huge, right? If we get to that point and he still looks as if he hasn't shown any improvement, then I would be alarmed. The thing about it is, like, it's going to be progress made, but there will be gradual progress. It ain't going to be overnight. He ain't all of a sudden going to start getting pressures 2 out of 3 downs, right? It's about him taking the baby steps. And what I think is most important for him, from like a schematic standpoint, a technique standpoint, an X's and O's standpoint, he's got to use his hands. That's the area where I feel like watching him, he's not using his hands. Cave the offensive tackle's chest in. Convert speed to power. I want to see him be able to do that. You know, it felt like he tried a spin move earlier today against Brandon Coleman. Terrible idea. If you've ever played high school football or football at any level and you played defensive end, you don't spin and swim unless you know how to spin and swim. Because that's how you get him the hell up. And you saw it happen to Jamin Davis earlier today in practice, but it's not something to be alarmed by. At least he's working another move. At least he's trying to work another move. Like, that matters. That's important. So, look, as I continue to say, I'm not going to give up on Jamin Davis, but to answer the question, I think it has to be Emmanuel Forbes. It has to be. But buyer beware on Emmanuel Forbes. Buyer beware, because last year, think about it, we were raving about him last training camp, talking about, you know, how well he looks to this point, how he's further ahead than we expected, and how we expected him to hit the ground running during the regular season. Obviously, that didn't happen. The question is now for Forbes is, first and foremost, the most important thing is I think he's had to get his confidence back, right? You cannot play that position haphazardly. You just can't. If he's got his confidence back, which it seems like he does, that is the first part of the equation in Operation Jamin Davis bounce back. He's got to play with confidence. And watching him, he looks like he is. Going up against Terry McLaurin, as I mentioned today, getting pass breakups, taunting afterwards, doing his thing. We love all of that. That is what I want him to play with. Speaking of last year for a second, I mentioned I hated that they benched him because I felt like it sapped him of his confidence. You can't. There was a thing last year where Ron got on the podium and called guys out, not individually by name. I don't know if you remember this, Uptown Don. I think we talked about this a lot. Ron Rivera calling guys out indirectly in press conferences about taunting after a play. That, to me, you can't. It's a violent sport. If you've never played it, it ain't as cute as it looks on television. Guys are trying to end your life. Then in the National Football League, when you got to feed your family off of this, look, you don't want to sap a guy of his confidence, because especially at that position, defensive back, you are nothing without it. But through the first couple of days of camp, he is taken, and this was the case during mandatory minicamp as well. It's Emmanuel Forbes at outside corner. It's Benjamin St. Juiced at outside corner, and it's Mike Samersville, the rookie out of Michigan, at the slot corner. So we're going to see if he's able to maintain that outside corner job. I thought it was a position that was up for grabs based off of how inconsistent he was last year. But that cornerback room is interesting in terms of the names that they've got. It's a young unit relative to playing experience outside of, even including Forbes and St. Juice. Mike Davis is the most experienced member at corner right now. Formerly of the L.A. Chargers. Wasn't really good last year. Was pretty damn good in 2022. Up and down career to this point. But Washington's hoping that they can get the most out of him. Outside of Mike Davis, St. Juice, this is what, year number 4 for him. Emmanuel Forbes, year number 2. I'm calling him Noah I because I can't pronounce his damn last name, only in year number 4. So it's a young group. Tariq Castro Fields, undrafted cat, or seventh round pick, sorry, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, someone that Adam Peters and company actually selected. So he's been running with the second team in outside corner, so I'm interested to see him. But all in all, like, I do have some concern about the secondary. Outside corner in particular. And I wonder at what point are they going to pick up the phone and call Stephon Gilmore? Because I know if they are to bring in another veteran at corner, I would have to think that it is Stephon Gilmore because of the track record working with Dan Quinn and company previously in Dallas. That's just what I would have to think. But like I said, I'm okay with them not making a move right now. The way I feel, it's hard to get a real gauge on what you've got until you're in pads. And they're not in pads yet. So Monday, as I continue to say, is the day that I believe they're going to get into pads. At that point in time, you're going to start to get some more answers about just how good this group is. That's on offense and on defense. So for as optimistic as I am about this group, once you put the pads on, I understand it is a different ballgame. It just is. And you're going to separate men from boys. It is a grown-ass man's game. And you can fake the funk for a long time. You go months without putting pads on in the NFL. OTAs, no pads. Mandatory minicamp, no pads. You get your ass to August. End of July, early August, and the pads come on. It's very easy to wean out the guys that don't have that mentality that is needed for this defense to take a step forward. It's going to be very easy to weed out guys, especially in the secondary. If you can't tackle, you shouldn't play. That's the one thing I get so frustrated with in the National Football League, especially with this team in particular over the years. Be a sure tackling football team. It's one of my number one requirements for this defense next year. I don't care if you can't cover worth a lick. At least be sure tacklers. At least have 11 guys flying to the football down in and down out. Because that quite literally lacked last year. That Buffalo game in particular is a game I get so hot under the collar about. They were in that Buffalo game. It was a two-possession game all the way until about 6 minutes left to go in the fourth. And then all of a sudden, the doors got blown off and they quit. Guys weren't pursuing the football as hard. Guys weren't firing off the ball as hard. And it became very apparent that they had mentally checked out of that football game. That can't happen this year. Especially not with a new regime. It cannot happen. It shall not be tolerated. And I hope it's not. But with guys like Frankie Louvu, John Allen, Daron Payne, you've got the right leaders. I can't believe I named John Allen as a leader. Y'all know how I feel about John Allen. But you get what I'm saying here. It feels like they've got the right mix of guys to where that isn't going to be a problem. But if it is, might as well put the season to bed. With a new regime and a new coaching staff, energy should not be something that you got to preach, because everyone should have a heightened sense of urgency, because all of these dudes were previously fired. Just is what it is. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We spent enough time talking about the defensive side of the football. When we come back, I'll let you hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn talking about the rookie signal caller, Jaden Daniels. Plus, I'll give you my thoughts on how Jaden has looked through the first 2 days of practice. Next, this is The Fan.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.